I would like to open in prayer and ask God to show us how real He is and how real the afterlife is. Dear God in heaven, show us how real You are. Speak to our hearts. Change our lives. Open our eyes to the reality of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a story of a young boy who asked an angel to see heaven and hell. The angel took him to heaven and showed him just a beautiful place of streets of gold and mansions and everything that you could even imagine. The beauty was breathtaking. And he felt so much peace and so much joy and so much love in that place. And then they began to walk toward a broad road, and they began to see a party down below. And this party was just a wild party full of all kinds of sensual things and alcohol and drugs and all kinds of loud music. And the boy turned to the angel and said, "Man, heaven is just a wonderful place, a beautiful place, but it looks like they're having so much more fun in that party down there." And he recognized some of his friends. So he began to walk toward this party where his friends were at. And all of a sudden, a demon came behind him and pushed him over the cliff. And he was falling into a lake of fire. And he screamed up in a loud voice. He said, I thought that wild party was hell. And the demon yelled back that you are a fool. You're a fool. That's just our image. That's just our image. And there's a false image out there that the devil has painted about hell. And people think, even young people think today, that there is no hell. And I'm telling you, God is allowing natural disasters and frightening things on the earth to wake us up to the reality of that age-old question that says, are you ready to face? Are you ready to face eternal life? So I just ask you to hear this 20-minute message that I just want to share with you, how to be ready to face the fear and uncertainty of life, and how to be ready to face the afterlife. But there is a real heaven and there's a real hell. And God has prepared a place in heaven for all human beings. The Bible says that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and that there will be no more sadness and no more pain and no more sorrow or sickness or sin in heaven. It's a place of love and joy and peace beyond your imagination. But just as heaven is very real, friend, hell is just as real. Hell was created for the devil and one-third of the angels that rebelled against God before the world was created. But people choose to go to hell by rejecting the plan that God has provided to escape that awful place. There's a verse in the Bible in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, that says, God has set eternity in the human heart. God has set eternity in the human heart. And what God is saying in that verse is everybody really knows deep down on the inside of them that there is life after death. And the Bible is clear, there's only two destinations, heaven or hell. And Jesus himself has told us a vivid story in Luke chapter 16 of a rich man and a poor man who both died at the same time. And that one rich man who had everything in the earth he could ever want found himself in agony in the flames of hell. And he looked up and afar off he could see heaven. He could see Abraham, the father Abraham. And he saw this poor man Lazarus who he used to overlook and bypass on the earth. And he screamed out in a loud voice. He said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to even dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in constant state of agony in this place. And Abraham said, no, now he is comforted here and you are in agony because you said no to God down on earth. And even if we wanted to come to you, we couldn't come because there is a great gulf between heaven and hell. And so the rich man cried out in hell, at least send Lazarus or somebody from the dead to go back and warn my five brothers on the earth because they do not know about this place. And Father Abraham replied to Lazarus' request. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. And the rich man cried out, no, they won't listen unless somebody rises from the dead and go back and warns them about this awful place. And Father Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the Bible. And if they don't believe the Bible, they won't believe if even someone rises from the dead. And friend, we have so much scripture from Genesis to Revelation warning us on how to escape hell and how to inherit eternal life through Jesus Christ. In fact, the rich man in hell is the example of everybody in hell. All the people think about is if they just had one more moment to come back on the earth. And even if they were the most miserable person on the earth, if they could just repent and ask Jesus to become the Lord of their life and forgive them, all they wish for is that one moment. But in hell, it's absolutely too late. It's final. It's absolutely hopeless for anyone to come out of that awful place. So they think about constantly their people, their loved ones back on the earth that they left. And they just constantly think about, I hope they don't come to this place. I hope they make the decision and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior on earth. I hope they repent before it's too late and before they come down to this awful place. There's a story, a vivid story, a true story of what Jesus Christ has done for us to help us escape hell. There was an old man who took out his son and his son's friend out deep sea fishing out in the ocean. And all of a sudden it got late and it got dark and a terrible storm rose up, almost like a hurricane force storm. And it capsized the boat and all three of those people were capsized and they were in the ocean. And the father, the old man, managed to get back onto the boat. And he looked out on the water to his left and he saw his son dangling in the water, dangling for dear life. And he looked to the right and saw his son's friend doing the same thing, groping on for dear life as they were trying to stay afloat. And he looked down into the boat and he saw only one lifeline left. And he was immediately faced with a decision. Should he throw it to his son, who he knew was a Christian, and if he had died, he knew he would go to heaven? Or should he throw it to his son's friend, who he knew did not have Christ in his life or in his heart, and he knew if he would have died, he would go to hell? And so he threw it out in a split second to his son's friend, and with a lot of painful agony, pulled him in and finally got him back into the boat. And he looked back and tried to throw the lifeline back out to his son, but to no avail. His son drowned and drowned to death. And later on, the son's friend asked the father, why did you throw the lifeline to me? Why did you not throw it to your only son? And the dad said to his son's friend, I knew that my son was going to go to heaven when he died, but I knew that you would go to hell. And right then, that son's friend made a commitment and said, I want Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to come into my life. I want this eternal life that you gave up your own son for me to inherit. And that very son's friend became the pastor telling that story. And I liken that to the same thing the father felt. The father laid upon all the sins of the world on Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, 6 hours. He was in agony and in pain, and Jesus felt all the sin and all the torment. You see, God is holy, and no one can enter heaven unless they're holy, unless they're pure like God. And there had to be a payment. There had to be some type of ransom for us to inherit eternal life in heaven. And the Father sent his son Jesus, and he said, I'm sending you to be the payment for their sin and for their law breaking, the breaking of God's law. And Jesus became that payment. And friend, he felt all the sins of the world while he was on that cross. He felt them emotionally. He felt the darkness. He felt the guilt and the shame that sin brings. He felt all the pain and all the torment of the cross. Some believe that Jesus actually died of a broken heart. His heart burst inside of his chest in that 6th hour where he said it was finished. And the story doesn't end there. God raised Jesus from the dead on the 3rd day. And Jesus Christ is alive and well. And he's at the right hand of God Almighty in heaven. And he's waiting for every human being to open up their heart. He's knocking on the door of every single heart. And he's waiting for you to say yes to Jesus and to open up your heart and let him into to your heart and let him into your life and let him become your Lord and your Savior. Jesus Christ is the only one who can forgive you. He's the only one that can change you and allow you to inherit this free gift of eternal life. I just remember a story about the two murders, the murders that happened in the Columbine shootings in 1999 in America, in Colorado. And I read a book about one of the martyrs, one of the girls who died there. Her name was Cassie. And she was not a Christian. She was raised in a Christian home, and she went to church occasionally, but she never made a commitment to Christ. And she picked up a book one day. She was thinking about suicide because her life, she felt, was hopeless. And she would try the occult, and she tried witchcraft, and she tried partying wild with her friends, and nothing would satisfy the void that was in her life. She wanted to commit suicide, and she looked on the bookshelf of her parents' bookshelf, and she found a book, and she opened the book, and all of a sudden her eyes landed on a quote, and the quote in the book said, "All of us should live life as to be able to face eternity at any time. All of us should live life as to be able to face eternity at any time." And she read that quote, and she realized that she was not ready to face eternity. And she remembered a song that she sung in her childhood. When she was a child, she sang, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." And she began to call on the name of Jesus. She began to ask Jesus to come into her heart and to forgive her of all of her selfishness and all of her sin. And Jesus came into her heart and became her Lord and Savior that day. And as she went back to school, her life changed, and her friends could not understand the change that happened in her life. Why did she not come to the party anymore? Why did she could do the same things that she used to do? And she lost all of her friends at school. And she wrote in her diary, "I don't care if I lose all my friends. If I gain my best friend Jesus, that's all that matters." And she also wrote in her diary, "Even if I have to die for my Lord, I'm willing, because that's the least I can do for Christ who died for me." And she did not know on April 20th of 1999 that two young men would bust through that school and start shooting people. And she was the one that they put a gun to her head and said, "Do you believe in God?" And she had the courage to say yes. She said, "Yes, I believe in God," because she made that commitment, because she knew she wasn't ready to face eternity. And the Bible says to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord Jesus. And immediately, the Bible says that when you die and you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, and you immediately go to heaven and you face the Lord. And I can't help but think the Lord gave her a big hug and said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And Jesus wants you to call upon Him before it's too late. The Bible says in Isaiah, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on the name of Jesus while He's near. Let the wicked person forsake his way and the evil person his thoughts, and God will have mercy on you and abundantly pardon all of your sins." And I just think about if you had $10,000 in your house and you lost it and you knew it was somewhere in your house, I believe you would not stop seeking for it and searching for it till you found it. But how much more important than $10,000 or even $1 million is life eternal in heaven? How much more important is Jesus, who died for us and is alive and well and waiting for you to say yes to Him? All we need to do is repent and ask Jesus to become the Lord and Savior of our lives, and ask Him to forgive us for our wrongdoing and our turning away. I remember a story I heard of a woman in England. The devil appeared to a woman in England and said, "Do you want to be rich and do you want to be famous?" And she said, "Yes." And the devil will give you, friend, anything that you're willing to sell out for, as long as you do not follow Jesus Christ with your whole life. The Bible says, "What does it profit a person to gain the whole world and lose their very soul?" The Bible also says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you are serving Jesus Christ and following Him with all your heart, or you're automatically serving the devil without even knowing it." Jesus wants to become the Lord of your life. There was a story in the Bible of a rich young person who came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life in heaven?" And Jesus turned to him and said, "You know the Ten Commandments. Do not lie, do not steal, do not commit adultery, honor your father and mother." And Jesus went over the Ten Commandments with this young man. And the young man turned to Jesus and said, "All these things I have kept since I was a boy. What still do I lack?" And Jesus turned to him and loved him and said, "One thing you still lack. Go sell all you have and give to the poor, and then come follow me." And the Bible says that young man hung his head and turned and walked away and went away sad, because he was not willing to part with the thing that was most precious to him on the earth, which was money. And God wants to be first place in your life and first place in your heart. What are you living for that you're willing to hold on to that would keep you
from Jesus and send you to hell? Is Jesus first place in your heart? Is Jesus first place in your life? Or are you living for someone or something else? And that's how we inherit eternal life, by making Jesus first place. Jesus does not want us to be poor on the earth. He just wants to be first place in our heart. Many people are shocked that there's many good people in hell today. And many good people are burning alive in hell today, not because they were bad or they were the murderer or rapist, but because they rejected Jesus, because they rejected what Jesus provided for us on the cross. And that is the only way, truth, and life to heaven. The Bible is clear that there's only two destinations. And if you're not following Jesus, you're automatically serving Satan. It's a choice that only can be made while you're on the earth. It's light or darkness, life or death, heaven or hell. And the choice is yours. But I beg you, friend, to choose life before it's too late.
I'll never forget a story that I heard, a true story of a young man named Ronnie. He was a successful businessman. Everything he touched turned to gold, and he was just constantly making money and just very, very rich and famous. And he became friends with a pastor there, and he began to go to the church, and he just loved the music in the church. The pastor was following him one day on a business trip, and the bridge collapsed in the car that he was driving, and everything was absolutely crushed in that car except the little cab where he was sitting in. And as they were waiting on the side of the road, the pastor turned to him and said, "Don't you think it's time to give your heart to God? Don't you think it's time to turn your life over to Christ?" And he said, "I'm just not ready, Pastor. I want to, and I know you have joy and a peace that I don't have, but I'm just not ready to give up the things that I need to give up and give myself over to Christ." And sure enough, a week later, that same boy named Ronnie, who had a wife, a young wife, he was driving in another vehicle and got into head-on collision and immediately died. And after he died, sometime after, his wife had a dream 3 nights in a row. And for 3 nights in a row, Ronnie appeared to his wife and said, "Please do not come where I'm at. Please do not come where I'm at. Please do not come where I'm at." And it scared his wife, and his wife came to the church and gave her life to Christ. But most young people think that I'm just going to wait till I'm older to give my life to Christ. I'm going to wait to get right with God and to attend church and wait till I have a family. And friend, don't wait till it's too late. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. If you hear God's voice and you hear God knocking on the door of your heart, open it up immediately and let Him in before it's too late. God says that, and when Jesus was walking the earth, Jesus said, "You must follow me to inherit eternal life." So it's not just about saying, "I believe in God," or "I'm a good person," or "I can do this or that. I know I haven't hurt anybody." But Jesus said, "You must follow me to inherit eternal life." And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate of hell, and broad and easy is the road that leads there. But small is the gate of heaven, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Only few there be that find it." You don't have to be good enough to come to Jesus. Jesus accepts us just as we are. Jesus takes every human being who says yes to Him. It doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It doesn't matter where you're at right now in life. If you're the best person in your mind, or if you're the worst person and the worst sinner in your mind, Jesus says, "Come to me, all those who are weary and heavy laden. Let me give you rest. Let me give you the gift of eternal life, and let me fill your life with my plan of salvation and my plan that I have for your life." So, friend, if you're ready to say that prayer and you're ready to commit your life to Christ right now, I just encourage you to say a prayer out loud after me, because you know you're not ready, because you know you're not ready to face eternity. You know you don't have that assurance. You don't have that 100% assurance and that peace in your heart about eternal life and about what we're facing in the world today, the uncertainty and the fear of the times. Jesus Christ is the peace that you're looking for. Jesus Christ is the hope that you're looking for. Jesus Christ is the way that you're looking for in your life here and in your life after you die. And the Lord says that anyone who calls on His name shall be saved. So right now, say a prayer after me. Say, "Dear Jesus, I call upon the name of the Lord right now. Come into my heart and come into my life.
Be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of all my sins, of all the wrongdoing that I've committed. I am yours and you are mine. Come live your life through me this day and give me the gift of eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, you are born again. Jesus had just come into your life and you just experienced the miracle of salvation. Let him change your life. I just encourage you to email us at eternitycd@gmail.com. Email us with questions and with comments. Let us help you find a good church. And if you prayed that prayer, we want to send you a free packet of information to help you in your new life with Christ. But find a good Bible-believing church and start reading the Bible in the Gospel of John and find somebody that you can follow that will help you in this new life with Christ.
You see, the Christian walk is a journey. And Jesus doesn't just save you from hell, but he has a plan for each and every one of your lives. In Jeremiah, it says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So you see, God knows every single human being formed in the womb. He gives each person gifts and talents and abilities for life to fulfill his plan and his purposes in each life. And this is just the beginning. If you said that prayer, this is just the beginning of your new life with Christ. But now your part is to follow Jesus Christ, not just saying a prayer. God gives us the grace and empowers us to live for him. The Bible says anyone in Christ is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. And friend, you are brand new on the inside. If Jesus has come into your life, then you will never be the same. God bless you.